This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Blessed Bernardine of Feltre.
Bernardine of Feltre, a Franciscan of 15th century Italy, was a great champion of social justice. Bernardine found certain groups to be the victims of cruel usury practiced in his day. Among them were especially the owners of small farms. Those who tilled the soil made up the great majority of the citizenry, but they were losing their lands, and the local businessmen were suffering with them. For these, Bernardine established justice, bearing the criticism, the opposition, the persecution, with such courage and patience that he earned the title of Blessed Bernardine of Feltre.
We are on a busy corner of the market square in the village of Feltre. It is mid-morning of a day in 1449. Bernardine, a boy of 12, the eldest son of Lord Totano, stands waiting for his father. Two men, deep in conversation, stand near him.
I wanted to do it. I just
had
to
borrow from the Lombards.
I told you when you got the loan that you'd live to regret it. Now you see I knew what I was talking about. By the way, what interest does he charge you?
Well, he demanded 45%. As heaven is my judge, that's what he said.
Yes, that's his usual rate.
Well, it was hard to get the money, I can tell you. Sometimes we didn't have enough food, but we finally got it together, every lira of it. Now when I go to pay him on the day and the hour specified, what happens? He produces the contract that he says I signed, and there in black and white is not 45%, but 70%.
Did you sign such a contract?
Oh, there was an X mark at the bottom of it, which he says was made by my hand, but I swear it was not. I cannot read words, but I can read figures, and the figures in that contract I signed were 45%.
Well, it's too bad, Angelo.
Too bad? It's worse than too bad. He's going to take my little farm and my horse, and the magistrate may even let him sell me into slavery to repay that accursed loan. And what can I do?
Well, you should never have gone to a money lender in the first place.
Oh, if I hadn't gone to him, I would have had no seed to plant last spring.
Exactly. But you borrowed the money, planted it, and harvested your crop, and now you can't repay the loan.
Why, you're
worse off than you were before. Well, men all over Italy are in the same boat as yourself. When you put yourself at the mercy of one of those money lenders, you sign away your very soul.
Oh, I wouldn't care so much for myself, but my wife and the baby. Oh, would God I had cut off my tongue rather than ask for that loan.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, get away. Who is this boy?
Oh, that is the eldest son of the Lord Totano. Young master, you must forgive my friend here if he sounded impatient. He's in great trouble.
I couldn't help hearing
what we said. No wonder. We were both too much concerned to speak softly.
My father has money. I will ask him.
Oh, that's kind of you, young master, but your father's a devout church member. He would have lend money for interest. He would incur the penalty for usury.
But not if he gave it without interest. I will try to get...
You will try to get him to give my friend here the money without interest, on the promise that he will be repaid only the sum he loaned? Angelo, perhaps the boy can. The Lord Totano is known to be very kind. The boy would speak to
yes,
him.
Yes, perhaps if...
Look, young sir, my friend here is known all over town as an honest man. And he's in the clutches of a moneylender just now, but with a little help, he can get back on his feet again, and when he does, he'll repay every cent of his debt.
I will speak to my father.
I'll be frank with you, Angelo. It's for my son's sake almost more than yours that I lend you this sum. It's hard to refuse anything he asks of me.
Yes, I understand how a father feels, my lord. I have a child of my own.
Ah, but...
Seems that...
I hope your child is normal. This boy of mine, my eldest and my favorite. Had he the right use of his tongue, I'd feel he had a brilliant future before him. As it is, even among his own friends, his affliction is against him. And as to entering the church or the law, oh, with such a handicap, people would only laugh at him.
But can the men of science do nothing for him, my lord? I've heard that sometimes a tied tongue can be freed by cutting.
Oh, nothing does any good. I've consulted all the men of science in Florence and Venice and even Rome. Oh, well, I suppose it's my cross. And his heavier cross, poor boy. Perhaps because he suffers, he's so quick to help others who suffer.
He does that, my lord.
Yes. Well, here's the bag of coins, Angelo.
Oh, thank you, my lord.
Oh, I know that when you can, you will repay me. May it save you and your little family from disaster.
Bernardine's affliction made him a shy young man. There was always so much he wanted to say, but words came with such difficulty. Rude children laughed at his efforts to talk, and sympathetic people turned their eyes away and waited with impatience for him to finish. It was only when he prayed to our Lord and his saints that he could speak fluently and well.
My dear Lord, here am I, whom all but you ridicule and laugh at. What do you want of me? Born as I am with a form of speech which makes me ridiculous among others who can speak so easily and so well. Is there any small thing you want of me which the more favored among your servants cannot give you? I beg you, let me know what it is. There's so little I can do for anyone. I'm clumsy and shy. The simplest thoughts I can't put into words. But your wisdom is infinite. And if you will that I be among those who are never privileged to serve, but must always accept service, I shall not complain.
Then one day, Bernardine is listening to Father James of the Marches preaching in the Church of Feltre.
When you stand before the all-just judge...
Bernardine feels strangely drawn to the brown-habited son of St. Francis of Assisi. If he too could only be a priest, a preacher, he thinks.
God bless you all.
Then truly his cup of happiness would be full. But certainly a man who could not speak a simple sentence without great difficulty could never hope for ordination. When the congregation had left, he remained kneeling in the church.
My dear Lord, If I could only speak as others do, how joyfully would I offer my life to your service and the service of your poor among those followers of St. Francis. If I could speak as others do.
Speak, Bernadine.
I would ask nothing more than to spread knowledge of you and devotion to you throughout the country.
Speak, Bernadine. Speak aloud.
Something. Something. Someone urges me to speak aloud.
You and I are alone here now, my lord. And you will not mind my faltering speech. I will try to say the prayer I learned the other day. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water out of the side of Christ, wash me. I'm speaking. Oh, my Lord, with your help I can speak as anyone else, anywhere, to anyone. You have heard and granted my prayer. I thank you from the depths of my heart.
Bernadine applied for admission to the Franciscan Order and was accepted. Wearing the brown habit of the Order, he went to Mantua, started his studies for the priesthood, and then began immediately to travel about the country preaching.
And so I say to you, who have been blessed with much of the world's goods, what will you say to the all-just judge when you stand for final judgment in his presence? I have amassed riches, you will say. Will God say yes at the cost of poverty and misery to your brother? Oh, my children, what help will your riches give you then? It is only wealth honestly gained and mercifully administered that can plead your cause in heaven. My children, make unto yourselves friends with your wealth, so that when you stand before the old just judge, these poor of Christ may plead for you. God bless you all.
No wonder the people flock to hear him. I've seldom listened to so moving a sermon.
Yes, and those who accept bribes for protecting the usurers must have felt it.
Felt it, not they. Why, my husband says all our local authorities are hand in glove with the moneylenders. They pose as devout communicants and come to church every Sunday. Yet they are as guilty as the Lombards because their fortunes are made from the miseries of the poor.
Even the governor?
He most of all. Why, my husband says...
He's coming this way. No, he's pausing, waiting for the preacher. What can he have to say to him?
Listen, perhaps we can hear.
Father Bernadine, it was a marvelous sermon. Never have I heard better.
Thank you, Governor.
The usurer should have grown red with shame, but alas, there were no usurers present. Only those beyond the pale of God's grace indulge in the evil practice of loaning money at interest.
Indeed.
I, as a loyal son of the church and an official of the state, would give my life to end the nefarious practice. But what can one do?
What have you done?
I've levied fines, heavy fines, on those impious foreigners who carry on the traffic.
Have you? May I ask what becomes of the fines once they are paid?
They become part of the public fund, of course. But I would not bore you with local politics. The point is, what would you advise me to do to stamp out this evil? You have only to command, and I will obey.
Are you sincere in this offer?
How can you doubt me? I am a loyal son. I give tithes of all I possess. I regularly attend church. Well, anyone can tell you that I am the leading citizen of the community.
As such, you own property in this town.
Almost every business building we have is either mine or would be mine if I foreclosed my mortgage upon it. Why do you ask?
Only for the reason that I have a plan which I must suggest for our Father General's approval. Should he approve, and should I ask for the rental of that empty building on the square, would you consider me a desirable tenant?
A tenant? Father, you jest. As I said, anything I can do to help you in your campaign to stamp out this evil, which is draining the lifeblood of Italy, you have only to call upon me.
And from the multitudes who came to him for advice, he heard over and over the same story.
My husband died of a broken heart, Father, after we lost our home to the moneylenders. And our child died for want of food. He seemed to lose all interest in living.
Yes, Father, I admit I waylaid the old man and took his purse. My conscience has given me no peace since, but what else was I to do? Hadn't slept for a week, worrying about how I should repay a loan of 50 florins with the additional 35 florins due in interest. I think I was almost insane when I committed this crime. Do you think God will forgive me, Father?
Once long ago, a man standing on a street corner in Peltre had said that one who put himself at the mercy of the moneylenders signed away his very soul. Remembering these words, Bernardine thought that they were almost true. He took counsel with his superior.
This system of usury is like a vampire, sucking the lifeblood of our poor.
Yes, that is true.
There must be some remedy.
The law of the church forbids it. She condemns it, and the law of the land pretends to restrict it. But nonetheless, persons make vast fortunes from it. There's but one remedy I know of, one tried in England more than a century ago, and recently tried by our own order in Perugia.
You mean the so-called mons pietatis?
Exactly. You're familiar with the theory of such a loan institution?
None too familiar, I'm afraid. I've heard of it, of course.
Well, the one established in England was the result of a request by Bishop Michael Northburg. He left the sum of 1,000 silver marks to be loaned to worthy people in need of small sums to carry them through emergencies. No interest was to be charged for the loans, and all expenses for office rent, clerical help, and the like were to be paid from the capital.
The result, I suppose, being that eventually there was nothing left of the fund.
Well, that's the way it worked out. There were expenses, you see, incurred in managing the fund, and not all the recipients of the loans were able to repay them. It was inevitable that there should be nothing left.
Why wouldn't it be possible to charge a low rate of interest, say 4%, just to cover the handling expense? The church forbids the faithful to engage in lending money for profit, it's true. But if a pool of funds were contributed by charitable people and wisely administered, not for personal gain, but to help honest people who were in genuine need, might not the Holy Father permit that?
Well, it was permitted in Perugia.
And why not in other places as well?
Oh, my son, haven't you yet learned that reforms are not easily brought about when there are those financially interested in preventing them? The bishop here would welcome the establishments of a mons pietatis, but the city government, that's another matter.
I should like to try starting one.
Well, you have my permission, and I shall give you any help I can. The bishop, as I said, is enthusiastic over the idea.
And may I call on the governor?
Yes, you may. You'll find him outwardly delighted to cooperate with you. I think he will assure you that he laments the practice of usurious interest quite as much as you do, but... well, don't set your hope of success too high.
I shall hope and pray and work for success. I know too much of the misery of this debt-ridden people to do otherwise.
Bernardine gave himself enthusiastically to the effort. He secured the approval of the bishop. He called upon people who were willing to contribute to the original fund. And then he began to discover, as every true reformer must discover, how heartbreakingly hard was the task he had undertaken. Strange and unpredictable things happened.
Good morning. I've come to see about moving into this building we've rented as an office.
But, Reverend Father, this building is already rented to Pietro, the grain merchant. I'm sorry indeed to tell you that that it will be impossible to accommodate you here.
Rented to Pietro, the grain merchant? You said nothing of this yesterday when we discussed the matter. You spoke to me at the close of the sermon. You offered me your aid. What has happened?
One of my servants rented the building to Pietro without my knowledge.
Are your servants in the habit of renting your property without your being aware of it?
It grieves me greatly that such a thing should have occurred, but the transaction has taken place. I could not disappoint Pietro now.
Is it possible that my desire to open offices for the Mons Pietatis here had anything to do with Pietro's sudden desire to expand his business?
Oh, Reverend Father, how could you think such a thing? I'm wounded to the heart that you should distrust me. I assure you I'm deeply grieved because you are disappointed. Believe me, Reverend Father, I am.
I trust your heart will recover from its wound. If I have judged your motives unjustly, I'm sorry. Nonetheless, I find it odd that buildings in the town which have stood vacant for years should suddenly be in such great demand.
Finally, however, the Mons was opened. Its immediate success proved how much such an institution had been needed in the community. And the gratitude of the public went far to offset the subtle opposition of the civil authorities. Thereafter, whenever he went to a new section of the country on his missionary journeys, Bernardine strove to introduce this just system of loans. Soon Bernardine became even more widely known through his interest in establishing the new system of banking than he was for his eloquent sermons. Small business people and farmers all over Italy blessed his name, and unscrupulous persons who had grown rich through the misfortune of their fellow men hated him. Like all great reformers, he had made both devoted friends and bitter foes. When he was in his 55th year...
Has anyone heard how he is this morning?
Just before you joined us, the porter came to the monastery gate. Someone asked him if Father Bernardine showed any signs of improvement, and he shook his head. You could see he was near tears.
The physician is with him now.
Then if we wait, we may learn the physician's opinion of his chances for recovery.
He's not an old man. Perhaps there's still hope.
I heard him preach once. His words made an impression on my heart I shall never forget.
And if it hadn't been for his work, I should never have come through that awful year when the children were ill and our house burned. I took a loan that year and paid it back the next. If I'd had to go to the Lombards, I'd have paid back 10 times the original amount in interest alone.
Hush, here comes the physician. Oh, sir, I beg your pardon. How is Father Bernardine?
Only God knows, my friend. It will be a miracle if he does.
Inside the monastery, the brothers were chanting the prayers for the dying. Their voices came to Bernardine as if from a great distance, and at first he made an effort to follow their words in his own mind. Gradually, the voices seemed to grow more distant till they faded away.
Soul of Christ.
Then, as he had once talked to his Lord, when speech was almost impossible for him, he was repeating the words of the prayer he loved so much.
Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. from the malicious enemy, defend me. The hour of my death, call me and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever.